Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. Episode 148.
Yep.
Getting through them, aren't we? Pretty fast.
Do we have a celebration on 150?
Why not? We'll have a can of Monster each.
Oh, nice.
Celebration. Like early morning. Give us a lot of energy ready for the podcast.
Not quite as good as expecting, but it'll do.
I thought that'd be right up your street.
It is, but 100, we had a live podcast in front of an audience, and it was a night that she'll never be forgotten about. It was.
I know. And I must
150
admit,
is just like, oh, okay.
I think I did say as well, or hint at maybe 150 we should do a live show, but no, that's not happening. So I'm not sure. It's
maybe 200 will go big.
Yeah. You know what's Vegas?
Oh, wow. Okay.
In 50 weeks' time, Vegas. I reckon we start doing 2 episodes a week.
To get in fact, quicker.
3 episodes a week to get
everyone's
there quicker.
Like, Rick, why are you using 14 podcasts a week? Ah, well, let me explain.
Vegas is a looming. Actually, on that note, a lot of people, I feel like in the comments recently, and I feel like it's very much overdue, have been asking, when are you coming out to the States? When are you coming over to America? Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, soonish.
I thought it was going to be a big announcement then that I didn't know.
Oh, no, sorry. Next week, guy, get your passport. We're going to America. I still can't believe.
Can you hear some feedback, by the way, or not? I've got a little bit of feedback, but it's fine. I can deal with that.
I can't believe very soon it's going to be 3 years before I've even been on a plane.
Yeah.
It's mad. I've not travelled. I'm not a travel person anymore. I used to be a travel person. I'm not
now
a
you're a cruise guy. No, I'm travel, just come back off a cruise.
I know, it's not on the plane, is
that's
it?
That's very true. Today's podcast is actually one that I'm excited about. And the reason I'm excited about, this is going to sound not correct, is because we've not got that much planned. And normally, the ones we don't have loads and loads planned end up being the best ones because they're more just like freestyle banter, riffing, back and forth.
Riffing.
It's like tennis of banter. Bang, bang, bang. But we've got a few things to talk about. One kind of cool announcement that we've kind of already ruined in a way. And if you listen to this, you may already know about this. You may not. We are having on Thursday this week, so Thursday, the 8th of September, 7:30 UK time till 10 p.m. UK time. An event, Rick. Sell it to me. Sell me the sausage and the sizzle.
Those good boys can come over here and do a meetup.
Willy-nilly.
Right? They think they can just put a post out there and do a meetup. Well, I'm coming back with my own meetup.
We've got 6 people coming.
We've got all 6 people. No, in all seriousness, we're doing a range night at Trafford Golf Centre on Thursday. And again, as Guy just mentioned, if you listen to this, it might be a little bit too late. And we really do apologise. But we didn't realise the scale and the volume of people booking on. We have 175 spots and all the 175 spots. And now I'm getting static.
Yeah, there's a bit of static somewhere.
Sorry, we just had a little technical glitch there as we were so excited about range night.
Explain what the technical glitch was.
We've got a box down here that sometimes if it's kicked or moved, it breaks.
Kicked it.
You know, 148 podcasts in, and we've got a silver box on the floor that if you ever so slightly move it, it just shuts the whole thing down. But actually, the Amazon order for a new one is arriving any moment.
Exciting.
So yeah, range night, loads of people, fans coming down to celebrate 10 years of me making YouTube videos.
Wow, it's like a birthday party for yourself,
really.
Throwing yourself.
I'm actually going to wear a hat.
Yeah.
Should I get a cake?
I want you to get a cake, a big sticker that says 10 on it, a big badge that says 10 on it.
10 years old today.
And we'll give you a hip hip hooray, whatever it's called. What's it called? 3 cheers.
That'd be nice.
That'd be really nice.
So inviting fans, subscribers down to the range. It's completely free. Unfortunately, it is a ticketed event, and the tickets have now, right now, as we speak, literally announced it half an hour ago and they've gone. But we'll make a video about it. It should be cool. We're going to have some challenges. I might give a few little cheeky tips and a few lessons. Guy's going to be there giving bants and doing long drives.
Yeah, I'm just going to provide banter, really. I'm going to have a banter hat on, just a head of banter.
just... I feel like we need a banter police then. We need a banter police officer. But yeah, it should be really good. Free golf balls, using the incredible Top Tracer technology. The guys at Trafford Golf Centre are allowing us to do it, but we booked half the driving range out, basically.
Yeah, it's
which is pretty awesome. So that's going to be coming soon. We did a range night. How many years ago was that now?
It was at least two.
Definitely before, I think it was before COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVID.
So it must have been at some point in 2019.
Yeah, or early 20. But yeah, maybe late 19. I think you're right.
I think it was the back end. So like that, it feels like a long time ago. And I wanted to do a lot more of them. So many years later, a couple of years later, is the first one of hopefully more. Again, might tie one into doing one in America or different places around the world. So do keep your eyes peeled. And I think the top tip, make sure all notifications are turned on social media so you don't miss out on any of the updates.
Yeah. And if you're not coming, if you can't make it because you can't get a ticket, maybe go to your own range on your own.
Wear a hat.
Wear a hat, band a hat.
And like sing happy birthday.
At yeah, the top walk
of
around.
Your, top of your lungs, sing happy birthday.
And see how many friends you can make.
Like happy birthday to Rick, 10 years making YouTube videos.
Yeah, very good. Well, today, as I said, a bit of a random show. There's bits to talk about. I'm going to talk about Liv in a bit because why would you not?
Why not?
But first off, I've got an email I wanted to read out. It's from Nicole. I was going to leave it anonymous, but I think I can say it's from Nicole. It says, "Hello, Rick Shields and the incredible podcast team." Nice. So initially I thought it was a spam because we get a hell of a lot of spam emails, and the way it was worded, I thought, is this spam? But it's not spam. It's genuine. It says, "My fiance and I just got engaged this August. Congratulations. And you have been a part of our relationship over the past 2 years with our love for golf, Rick." So for the 2 years, there's been a lady and her fiance who've been watching the videos, listening to the podcast, and you are a part of their relationship.
Love it.
So you have it on at night?
Not sure if I'd tell my wife this. I think she'd be all right with it. I think it's part of the job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you get into bed at night, candles on, put the podcast on, lids kidding on. Wow. How does that make you feel?
I'd be the biggest... what's the opposite to an aphrodisiac?
Mood killer.
Yeah. I would not... I don't think I'd set the tone. Our dulcet tones on in the background. I mean, maybe you've got to be louder to try and drum us out, but let's not get into that.
Okay, so anyway, it says, "My fiance and I have found golf the greatest sport in the world.
It is.
And he has truly fallen in love with your podcast." Nice. Because he's a nice guy, isn't he? He likes good stuff. He's got a good taste.
Yeah.
He really has got great taste. That's what I've always said about him. He's a great guy. It inspires him, helps him grow as a golfer, and just in general has kept him going through being a nurse during the pandemic. He is one of my favourite people ever, isn't he? Such a good guy.
That's awesome.
It said, this is the bit that I almost thought it was too far, but I'll take it for you, Rick. "You mean the world to him and are by far his favourite golfer. Even over Tiger Woods, to him, you are the GOAT."
Yeah, I'm going to delete that.
Yeah.
It's
one step too far.
It is, yeah.
He's gone from being a nice guy to a bit like...
A bit over the top.
A bit OTT.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
He goes round the hospital. "Have you heard of this Rick Shields fella?" he's like the best.
It was like, make yourself a medicine. I'm in pain here.
You know what? I'm going to prescribe you a good dose of Rick Shields.
What would that help? A
nice healthy dose. Insomnia?
Yes.
It would definitely help with that. Would
have been Grant Hovatt said that.
Yeah.
Hovatt.
I feel like it would be motivational because you wouldn't want to be as bad as I am.
At what?
Golf.
Yeah.
So you might go, you know what? If he can do it, it might make you motivational to go, if he can bloody start up a YouTube channel and a podcast, I can do it.
Yeah.
What's he got? Yeah. He ain't special. So yeah, maybe that's what I'm good for.
Maybe that is what you're good for. Anyway, it says, this is where it gets a bit juicy. "So I'm reaching out in hopes you can help surprise my fiance, Josh, for his birthday." Now, there is a small caveat here. I'm going to hold my hands up. His birthday is October the 18th.
Whoa.
So in reality, he sent this email in early, which is a good shout, get it in early. So we should have really filed it away, come October time, announced it, given happy birthday. I can't promise I won't lose the email by then.
Emails disappear very often.
It was now or never. So Josh, I won't say your surname, but Josh, happy birthday from me, but more importantly, from Rick.
I'm going to look down the camera. Go on. Lens. Josh. Happy birthday, pal.
Happy birthday, Josh.
And your fiancé.
Yeah, and your fiancé. And also, this is where it gets super juicy. Now, I did a bit of digging. I think they're from America, so this might not happen. It will happen. But as well, I would like to invite you to our wedding in the summer of 2024.
Is it Vegas?
It's going to be at a golf course.
Why do you think they're from America?
Because I did some stalking on Facebook.
Okay.
Fine. Because the girl in question... She sounded hot. I'm joking. She had quite a rare surname, so I wanted to just have a look if I could find them. Search for her, found straight away. Her fiance was called Josh, so I found them. And I got a picture of them. Good vibes.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, they're in America. So unless so we fancy funny. A little... Imagine that going to our wives. We need to put... I'm going to wait on holiday for a week. What do you mean? We're going to a wedding in America.
Listen, we got an email. Start of September. His birthday was in October, and we're going to his wedding in June.
Well, that's it. But that's the kind of things this podcast does. While we're just doing it freestyling now, people in America are engaged, getting
married and all
getting
that.
Getting married, listen to this.
Well, I've got an email, by the way. I've got an email.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I'm going to read. I'm going to save it, though. It's a good one.
Okay,
save it for a bit later.
So, first up, we had Liv this weekend.
You know what, though?
Go on.
I'm not going to go first up, Liv.
Okay. Wow.
I'm going to go first up, Ollie Wilson.
Yeah.
I've mentioned a few weeks ago about getting upset watching golf and, you know, what it means to people. Again, I found myself crying this weekend. And it wasn't about Dustin Johnson holding an eagle putt in the playoff. It's about Ollie Wilson winning on the DP World Tour in Denmark. Is it Denmark? No,
yeah,
it's not.
Himmeland. Yeah.
He's not won for 7 years. The emotion was just absolutely gushing out of him as he finished. His interview with George Harper was just phenomenal. Like, I was watching it going, ain't golf really, really, really hard?
Like, absolutely.
Like, these guys are grueling. Now, if you are listening over in America, Ollie Wilson, you probably don't recognise the name, even though he actually played in the Ryder Cup years ago. He kind of shot to some level of stardom and then kind of really dropped out of form.
What Ryder Cup did he play in?
I feel like it was 2008.
Oh, wow.
Is that about right?
Have a look.
Ollie Wilson, I reckon it's about 2008 Ryder Cup. And out of nowhere...
He was, you're right.
Out of nowhere, he's come back. And he mentions in the speech about who's helped him. He kind of mentioned his sponsors and stuff. But, like, how many people need to be supportive and behind somebody who's struggling? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's crazy. Think about all his family members. He might have wife, you know, kids, coaches, family, friends... And, like, you might think being a tour pro is the best thing in the world, but if you're a struggling tour pro and, like, struggling to make ends meet to some degree, to get that win. I mean, it's a bit like the story of Richard Bland, or, you know, a couple of years ago when he won the British Masters at the Belfry. You see it and you go, wow,
yeah.
That really hits me hard. And you think, God, that's so iconic and incredible. So I kind of wanted to start with that first. I've got to be honest, I didn't watch loads and loads of it. I've not been watching a lot of golf recently. Even Liv, I'm going to come on to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think the benefit now of social media is you don't have to watch a great deal of it live to know exactly what's gone on.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch so many highlights or clips. And I've seen loads of Ollie's final round and how he went on to win and how he composed himself and how he hit some incredible shots down the stretch. Didn't hold a great deal. I get to see all that. But then his interviews, the chats after, like... looking through his social media and seeing what he's been saying, it's like you do get a really good picture and you don't have to follow it live as much anymore, which is the benefit of kind of social media these days.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, and what people love about obviously the PGA Tour and certainly the European Tour, DP World Tour is now, is that people can have, you know, they can qualify, they can get on tour, they can win events, and obviously with Liv, you're invited on, really, aren't you? So it's not quite the case just yet. And that's, you know, that it's a weird one because we've said this many a times, but the world of professional golf in lots of ways seems super glamorous, and it can be. You know, you like Dustin Johnson now, played on Live Tour, getting private jets everywhere, 5-star hotels, you know, personal chefs, etc., personal trainers. It must be literally living the dream. But even guys on the DP World Tour who in your head you think are doing very well are actually kind of struggling, and it must be, you know, very intense to go from week to week, missing cuts and, you know, not always staying in the nice hotels away from your family. So to win an event, not only would that financially massively help you out, but the win, that feeling of winning, and also that feeling of, you know what, I can do it. And that's what happened to Richard Bland, wasn't it? He went on just to, he's so good now, because I think that win gives people the confidence. But that must be super rewarding. And I think that's huge. Something that, you know, no matter what happens in the future with Liv and with the DP World, etc., seeing people like that win is special, isn't it?
It really is. Like, I feel like you think about what motivates him for those 7 years.
Yeah.
What's got him out of bed every single day to beat balls, to practice, to put himself through it. I was just looking back at stats. His actual victory that he won in 2014 when he last won was the Alfred Dunhill Links, and he beat Tommy Fleetwood and Rory McIlroy by one shot. Like, he's obviously a great player. And that was a number of years even after he played in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
So, like, really, you know, he's 41 now. He's just come out and won this. And who knows what it might lead on to. You know, you never know. I'm not sure what extra events he gets invited to, et cetera, et cetera. But again, going back to this idea, like, there's so much talk about money in golf at the moment. I still love these little stories. I saw a clip as well. Did you see the clip of Appy Barnrat?
No,
his interview.
Not seen
it. So, Kiradek Appy Barnrat, again, I would say quite a familiar face on tour, DP World Tour, European Tour, and PGA Tour, probably about 6-7 years ago, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He's a larger than life character, yeah. And really, like, long swing, quite fluid from Thailand. And he really openly, in a Korn Ferry tournament, I don't think he's got PGA Tour status anymore, he was open saying, like, again, it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. He's one of the only Thai golfers out there. And for 80-90% of his existence, he has to speak a language that's not normal. Yeah. You know, it's a 12-hour flight to go and see friends and family. He says, if I've played well, I have no one to celebrate with. He says, even worse, if I've played worse, I'm just sat in a hotel room on my own, like, in my own thoughts. Like, and again, I don't think for one second that I'm sure people watching, everyone's got hard lives, like, really tough jobs. And it leads into the email that I'm going to read later on in this episode. But it's so, like, fascinating seeing all the things in golf. And I just don't want these stories or these kind of personalities to kind of get lost in it all. You know, as you like to say, you look at Liv, and we can move on to that kind of topic now. Dustin Johnson won it. He won in the playoff.
Yep.
Like, a phenomenal eagle putt in the playoff, to be honest. Like, that putt was absolutely flying, wasn't it? Yeah. I've never seen a putt like it to win a tournament. But again, I don't know if you've got any different thoughts about it. I wasn't massively drawn to watch loads of it.
Yeah.
I watched it when it got interesting,
yeah.
Like the last four or five holes, because, like, Westwood was contending. I was interested to see what Cameron Smith would have done if he would have won. When you actually look at that final hour, how Dustin Johnson won it, I'm not sure, because so many golfers gave it away.
Yeah.
Or like Dustin Johnson to make that up and down in the 18th hole in his actual regulation play when he pulled it left and chipped it backwards, then got up and down. You had Joaquin Niemann nearly chipping for eagle to win the whole thing. Like, Lee Westwood was on track for a 59.
Yeah.
Like, he could have easily shot 59. He goes bogeys the last two to miss the playoff by one. Like, there was actually a lot of action happening in the last hour. I didn't need to watch the 2.5 days beforehand.
I've had this discussion, you know, several times now, and I kind of got accused of being on the fence, and I kind of thought, right, let's make my mind up on where I sit with it. I'm really, really not into it.
Not struggling with the actual...
I'm really... Yeah, and again, this not, doesn't... I'm prepared to get people to obviously have an opinion on my opinion, and in the comments in the video, maybe say, oh, you're talking rubbish, whatever. That's fine. Everyone's got opinions on stuff. But I'm at the point now where I'm really... I'm not necessarily against it in a sense of, I want that to end, I want it to be shut down and whatever. It's not that. I was really excited to be excited for it, if that makes sense. And as I said before, still even now, I do kind of enjoy the rumoured signings, then when they get unveiled, and seeing how people take it online, and like almost I can't believe when like Cameron Smith's gone. I love all that side of things. A bit like how you have transfers in football. Yeah. You get excited for a new player to come or whatever.
Like when a player joins your football team, they'll put it all over the social media.
It's class.
And like you suddenly get this buzz. You're like, oh, he's the player that's going to transform it for us.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be the next superstar in our
and
team.
And that's, it's different, but yeah, it's similar. Like in Live Golf, it's more about like, I can't believe that. Like I was surprised, and I wasn't surprised that Cameron Smith went.
It was frustrating when we recorded.
I know, we did the podcast last week and it was announced an hour later or something. But I was kind of surprised in as much... No, I don't know if the word surprised, but it's the fact that he is genuinely a super competitor right now. So the fact that they got him is huge. But I tried at the weekend to watch it a few times. And again, people's comments might be, well, if you didn't even watch it properly, you can't really have an opinion. But my opinion comes from the fact I tried a few times to watch it. It's live on YouTube. I love that. I've said that since day one. I love it. You can put it on, bang, it comes up.
You can pause it, there's no adverts.
You can rewind, whatever. I love that. I put it on and I was just like, I'm just not, I don't know what it is. It's just, I'm not into it at all. Like
it is definitely missing this kind of magic sprinkle at the moment.
The team element to me still means nothing. And maybe when it changes in a few years or whatever and they become more franchised out, possibly, you know, so it's hard when you support a football team. That team has been around in most cases for 100 plus years. So it's got a real history. And the PGA Tour has been around for, years. It's got a history. So
it outlives the players by exactly. a long stretch.
The Open has got a real history. So it's very hard to understand how something that's so new can have that feeling. But I just don't get it yet. I put it on, didn't really enjoy it, didn't watch very long. I watched some of the highlights. I saw, obviously, the playoff win. I saw that crazy putt go in. But for me, I'm definitely not enjoying it as much as I wanted to. And I'm open to, and this isn't me with some agenda that I don't want to be, don't want to like it. I want to like it. And ultimately, I don't think golf is the most exciting sport to watch, period. And that upsets me because I'm a golf fan. I'm a golfer. I want other people to see my sport as cool and exciting and want to participate in it. So I want anything that golf can do to become more watchable, I'm for. I've always said I struggle to watch a lot of four-day golf tournaments bar the majors because they don't always excite me. I thought LIV, with its new packaged format, its shorter format, this shotgun start was going to be the thing that would get me excited. It doesn't.
The thing is, it's short, but it's still not short.
Yeah.
It's more condensed, but still 5 hours of coverage. Like, I was looking at, like, obviously, I've got a family. I personally, it sounds very selfish from my own point, I'd rather it be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
I feel like I would watch a lot more of it if it was on those 3 days. As soon as it starts leaking into the weekend, which obviously most people would probably have more chance to watch it, I've got a young family. I want to go out. I want to go and spend, we were at the park at the weekend. We went on bike rides. I'm taking them to classes. I'm doing loads of things with them. We're socializing with friends on Saturday night. The thing I'm not doing is wanting to pick up my phone and watch LIV for five hours. I like watching highlights, but to be honest, I would say, I'm not just saying now for LIV, I don't know if almost too much of professional golf is making me want to watch less professional golf. Mm. Because I feel like now, there's not just one event you want to watch. You have to watch. You've got to watch the PGA Tour, the bit of the DP World Tour. You want to watch maybe the Korn Ferry playoffs that are happening at the moment. You want to watch the LIV. You want to watch the Ladies Tour. Like, there's almost too much. And I feel like, unfortunately now, as much as people haven't got time to watch everything, I don't know how people genuinely in the golf media get a chance to sit and watch every minute of every day.
You can't, can you? There's
I no find
way.
That phenomenal.
I keep thinking that when obviously DJ signed, I was like, oh my days. When Brooks Koepka signed, I was like, all right, okay. Cameron Smith signed. I kept thinking, this is the catalyst to make it exciting and to make me actually want to be part of it and want to watch it. And actually, every time, it just doesn't do it for me at all, yeah. And I'm happy to have my mind changed. I might be sat here in a year's time going, you know what, it's absolutely class and I'm well up for it. But right now, but I also know, and this is why I said in before, jokingly, people in the comments may have something to say, and actually I want to hear people's comments, good or bad, if you love it or if you hate it in the comments. Definitely more people are enjoying it now. So they're definitely doing a lot more right. You know, when it first came out, it felt like, I know social media, you take it with a pinch of salt, it felt like 80% of people were against it, 20 were for it. Now it feels much more level. And if anything, what you see on social media is leaning more towards the positive. Yep. People are excited getting behind the teams and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember doing those polls before it started in London. I might do the polls again and actually see what people's opinion are, because I think a lot of people were, it was almost 30% was completely against it. 30-odd% were undecided and 30% of people loved it. I do think now maybe it's got more 60-70% like it.
Yeah.
Like, it surprises me, the crowds.
Yeah.
They've got crowds there. Like, I took screenshots of watching it yesterday on YouTube. And like around the 18th hole, that's a busy crowd.
Is it still free tickets though, or heavily discounted?
I think it's heavily discounted. Certainly if you put the player's name in and 25, you get a discount off. I know a lot of the players are saying it's a younger audience. I don't know if they've got any evidence on that, because I was also looking at the watching it yesterday and going, doesn't look that different of an audience compared to a PGA Tour event personally. And, you know, nothing's going to maybe rival with, let's say, a Scottsdale at the moment, because that seems like a really, really, you know, the Waste Management, that seems like a really young audience. But, I don't know what the team element, I think, is going to get better. It's very interesting watching someone like a Pat Perez.
Yeah.
Like, he has done hardly anything. I think he's gone 30th.
Making some money.
15th. He's made 2.6 million.
That's insane.
Just been on the team.
I could do that.
It'd be interesting to see when the next wave of players is. The next wave maybe going to be next year.
But you know what's crazy? You're right. There's going to be a next wave of players and it's only going to get stronger. But equally, we know there's players on the PGA Tour like Rory who can never see leaving. And there's also always going to be new talent coming through the PGA Tour. So it is going to be a point in the next year, well, even now really, but next year or two, where there's two tours that are very, very strong. How does even that work? Yeah. How do you have two almost pinnacle? Like, because we all know the DP World sits below the PGA Tour. So that's kind of accepted, I suppose. How do you have two tours who are rivaling out to be the best golf tour? And there will be weeks when they do obviously have events on and they're both battling for people to watch. How do people, that people have to decide to prefer one or the other? Just watch whatever's on at the time? Or
you look at the lineup now, the 48 players though, and it is getting really good. Like the talent, the characters. You, at most of those 48 players now, I really know. Like I would know probably 40 of them. There's still a few in there that I'm like, I'm not really sure who you are. You can look at the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour, and I don't know, again, whether they don't do a good enough job highlighting these players. There's a hand, well, not a handful, but there's probably 25%, 30% of the players I actually really know. Do you know what I mean? Like that you've kind of grown up with the last 10 years or so. I think this week's going to be very, very, very interesting. DP World Tour flagship event at the BMW Wentworth.
Yeah.
Their absolute flagship event. And am I mistaken saying there's about 20? Is it, how many players are playing
in
it?
I thought it was 14, but don't quote me on that.
14 players.
Something in that region.
Who has just pulled out? I want to say Paul Casey, but who's just pulled out of not playing? No, it's not Poulter. That's going to annoy me now. Somebody's just pulled out of playing in it who's a live player because they said, if we don't feel welcome, I don't want to be
there. Was it Martin Kaymer?
It was.
Yeah.
Martin Kaymer's pulled out. I'm not going this week, and be in really interested because none of the live players are being invited or asked to or allowed to participate in the pro-am
or featured groups, I believe, on Sky
or featured groups
unless in the final groups.
God, this is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
what happens if a live player wins? Wow. Is Patrick Reed playing?
I'm not sure. I'm not looking at the list yet.
I know Patrick Reed is not. I'm gonna have a look quick look now because I know Patrick Reed is very much a fan of the BMW PGA Wentworth, and he obviously is very, very much live hat, live t-shirt, live top. Like, imagine him lifting the trophy.
Tell you what I do like about live though, you can wear shorts.
You can.
I think that's cool. Why should golf?
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think you see it a lot when, you know, if I play golf and it's really hot, I might sometimes wear shorts.
I don't think it should have ever been a barrier.
No, it's like in the pro-ams and stuff, you often, or practice days, you might see players wearing shorts occasionally. It's like, it's just a simple thing, but it's one of those simple things that I think Liv can use as like an easy win. I think things like that make you realise that some of the traditions in golf, some people respect them, some of them make sense, but other things like you can only wear trousers. Well, shorts can look really smart. So I think things that they're kind of capitalising on, aren't they? They're taking the and riding with it.
Like how interesting as well will it be, like the players between each other this week? Like, I wonder what the rivals are going to be like, because you've got like players like Rory McIlroy playing in it. Yeah. Like, I just think it's going to be, it's crazy.
Massive fight, Liv versus DP World Tour.
The other thing as well with Liv bringing in shorts, it means they've done it first. PGA Tour now can never bring in shorts.
No, it's just copying.
Can they? Like, it's almost like they just can't do it. I just want to see if Patrick Reed's playing. I'm pretty sure he is. I feel like him and Rory, 18th hole. Yeah, he is. Anyway, crazy, crazy, crazy times. I'm not sure where I'm at with it just yet. I know for one thing, though, for a playing position, I don't think I'll be getting invited to any tour anytime soon.
Why?
I feel like my game's gone backwards, Guy.
Well, when did Dust play?
3 weeks ago. But...
Well, that's why.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've been analysing my game. I think what's really interesting at the moment is last time I probably played well. I'd say what bit of it as well, I'm watching a lot of the matches I've had with the Good Lads, which I know was filmed a number of weeks ago now, 6 or 7 weeks ago. I felt like my confidence was definitely trending. Do you think I need to put a lot more work into my game? Do you think I need to bother? Or should I just carry on chilling?
I'm laughing because I'm writing titles. People that are watching this podcast and listening will already know what the title is. I've just started writing Rick's Golf in Decline. That might be the title. Rick's Golf Game Gone Rubbish. I think with golf, we have to have realistic expectations, don't we? And I think sometimes we can almost undervalue practice. And what I mean by that is, we all know that practicing helps you get better at golf, or it should do. And same with kind of exercising. If you start doing a few runs each week, you're going to get a little bit fitter. And I think when you're sometimes doing that, you don't give yourself credit for what you're doing. So what I mean by that is if you were doing like 2 5K runs a week, which doesn't seem anything massive or whatever, you don't think you're doing a great deal, but actually it's good for you. Yeah. And then when you then stop 6 weeks later down the line, you go, oh my God, I can't even run 5K. And you didn't give yourself credit for what you were doing initially. And what I'm trying to get to in a long-winded way, I suppose, is that you, before your holiday and stuff, were playing quite a bit of golf. We were playing quite a bit on video. You were hitting balls with nips to range, etc. You were doing a decent amount. If you've now then kind of not done so much recently, you are probably going to see a decrease in performance. So if we go and play tomorrow, which might be the case, you have to have realistic expectations. You always go out with this video series trying to break 75.
Yeah.
But in reality, I know you can't change it because that is the franchise, but maybe tomorrow it should almost be like more break 78 and see what happens.
It's very interesting, isn't it, when you have a bit of time away from the game, and you're right, tomorrow might go one way or another.
Yeah,
like I might play really well, I might play horrendous, but because I've not played, I've got no expectations. But I just feel like my game was really trending a few weeks off. I feel like, oh God, all that hard work's kind of gone to shatters maybe. I'm intrigued to know if, well, whether, you know, I always think about it too late. I always feel like I need to practice in February,
yeah,
ready for the new season. Yep. I almost feel like I could catch it early and go, right, winter, and it's horrible to say, but the darker nights are starting to come in, winter's starting to come in. Is it now? Is it now the time to go, right, let's have a look at the golf game. It's September now and go,
ready for next year?
Yeah.
I think as well, though, and this is people listening to this who are late or watching this, it's how bothered you actually are. So it's a bit different for you because you're making videos online. But for the average person that's playing golf as a hobby, playing on a weekend, maybe playing once after work in the week during the summer, whatever, might nip to the range once a week, and it's a bit of social as well. We all want to play better golf, don't we? Nobody enjoys playing bad golf. I think you'd be a psychopath if you did. We all want to play either well or ideally really well. But then on the flip side, it's like how much effort do you want to put in? And even then, it's like, well, it doesn't always guarantee, it doesn't actually mean that the more practice you do in theory should get better. But we know it's not always the case.
No.
So if for example, again, on a Saturdays, when you play your golf, you work all week, you've got a family, Saturday's your day to go and play golf. And you've been the range Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and put a lot of graft in. And then Saturday comes and you shoot a million. It almost annoys you more.
Yeah.
Whereas if you work through the week, don't really do a great deal, turn up Saturday and shoot a million, you go, oh, well, what do I expect? They don't. And that's not me saying you shouldn't practice, obviously. I think it's just about having, you know, realistic expectations and also how much does it actually matter to you? How much does playing golf, getting exercise, just enjoying being with your friends matter versus actually having great scores?
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Because so many people play golf for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I'll speak to loads of pals of mine and like, Abattoir J.
Yeah, Abattoir J.
He's on a heater at the moment.
Is he?
Playing the best golf of his life. Like, I think he's won back-to-back tournaments. But only a few weeks ago, he's telling me, like, I keep blowing it up on, like, the 17th or 18th hole, and it's frustrating me, and this, that, and the other. And suddenly you take one win, and he's continued to play well, and now he's really going to try and push onto his handicap. I almost would love to be in that position a little bit more sometimes. Like,
have an actual handicap and a measuring stick almost.
I feel like that's something that I miss. I don't know whether I miss the competition side of it a little bit as well.
I do agree with you, and I sometimes
do. You ever miss the competition? Yeah, I do.
Growing up, I played comps almost every week. And the romantic side of me misses it, being obviously a really kind of hardcore member, going up for all the comps, practicing quite a lot. But actually, when you think about it in reality, when you do play well and you win a comp or do very well, it is a great feeling. But actually, in reality, more times you play badly.
You're disappointed.
You blow up towards the end. You got a bounce on the 18th. You get in the car. And you're like, oh my God, I was on 36, 34 points and I went triple on the last or whatever it might be.
And your wife's like, I know, I've heard the story every week.
And it's like, actually, in reality, do you miss it? Like, my perfect now is to go and play a nice golf course and play for what I class as being decent. So, like, ideally, not losing the ball, which is a tough ask, hitting the ball quite nicely. I don't even care about score that much. It's more about kind of playing, hitting nice shots, really. I do think when you become super score obsessed, which you do if you're playing comps, you are going to become obsessed with your score. It is very easy to fall out of love with. And that's why so many people quit golf, because they just can't beat a certain score or it annoys them. And you think about it, it's a shame, because golf is one of the best sports. Being out in the open, fresh air, you're exercising, you're with friends, you're having fun, whatever. The reason people quit is that they get annoyed they can't play well. And actually, if you could try and take that away somehow, which is very hard, less people would quit.
I think the one thing that I might start to look to do a little bit more, and it weirdly ties into a video idea we've had earlier today, is almost look a little bit more about when I go and play golf now. Obviously, I'm making a product, I'm making a video, which is fun, exciting, cool. But at the end of it, the only thing I ever walk away with that day is the score.
Yeah.
I don't really walk, I think, oh, did I hit it well? No, I hit it pretty well today or whatever. Where almost if I had more smaller aspects to break down, like my score was that today, okay. However, I've just set a new PB for puts on the back nine.
Sausage rolls eaten. Had six sausage rolls in the front nine. Well then, Rick.
Like, fairways hit, like greens in regulation, sand saves.
That's not you though, that is it?
I don't know.
I think it is. Okay, yeah. I'm intrigued to see.
Might be a new side of me. I feel like I'm...
You walk up to me, what do you shoot, Rick? 85. Oh yeah, but I hit 17 fairways. Don't give a toss. You shot 85, no one cares.
I feel, you know what, as well, I've become a real plastic fan again. I've got dead into football
Christ's
again.
Sake. Here we go.
Literally.
Because you won three games in the
four
spin.
Four games, thank you. Two at home, two away. I feel like when I look at the stats sometimes after a game, they fascinate me. Like,
possession and touches in the opposition.
Yeah.
Final third, whatever.
Like they were saying about Arsenal yesterday. Oh, they had so many more touches. They had so many more opportunities. And I was like, the score matters. But I know it. Yeah.
That goes against what you're saying.
But as in, like, they can take positives away from a bad result.
Yeah.
They could look at yesterday's result and go, we didn't score. We made a few bad decisions or whatever.
But, okay, then on the flip side, let's just say you play and you shoot 80, not happy with it, but you've hit 14 fairways, driven it amazing, and your pitching's been terrible, which has caused you to putt more, whatever. You could walk away and go, well, my driving was good. But would that not make you then go, oh my God, I drove it so well, I still couldn't break 80?
Yeah, but I think it would give me at least...
You know, to practice on maybe more.
Yeah, it would give me a bit of guidance.
Okay.
And then I don't like practicing, really, unless I feel like it's to practice on something that I can improve on. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Don't like hitting balls aimlessly.
Yeah, I don't think anyone should do it.
I'm a big fan of that. Top tracer. So
yeah, but that's not aimlessly.
Well, that's true. The top tracer, I don't know if you mentioned this before, there's a new game mode, Top Tracer 30, and it is absolutely unreal because I'm a victim of always saying that I go to drive range, hit it well, but then get to the course and don't. And I still think that's somewhat the case. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that because obviously on the driving range, there's no pressure. You know, you're hitting into a field. You feel kind of confident, whatever. There's no consequence. And then you get to the golf course, and there's that bounce down the right. There's a water hazard down the left. There's people watching you that they're letting you play through, whatever. And suddenly you start topping it and shanking it. So I think everyone gets that. But also, I think what a lot of people do wrong, and I'm the biggest culprit of this, is I judge practice session and performance on strike a lot of the time. So I often go to the range. It's not the best practice method, this, but I'll warm up with a wedge, 58 degree, hit a few chips, etc., then a few more full swings. almost jumped straight to my 7-iron, hit that for a while, and it's driver. Again, don't recommend following that, but that's what I seem to do. And so often I'll hit my 7-irons and be like, I flushed it today because I've struck it well. Yeah. Now, the first thing, we know that driving range mats are much more forgiving than the golf course. You can't fat it really on a driving range mat because it bounces off and gives you a nice strike. So you're going to strike it better. But also, when you're hitting it, you don't really massively aim at a target. You should do, but you just kind of go, oh, that was hit well, and you see it float off.
And I think the other thing as well, even if you are aiming for a target, certainly on a driving range, you sometimes don't understand the proximity of where exactly it was from that flag.
Short, long, left, right. That's true. And then, so Top Tracer 30, it essentially gives you 30 golf shots of different kind of distances. So some are driver, some are pitches, some are full irons in, etc. And you put in your handicap at the start. So for me, I put in 4. And the objective after these 30 shots, it gives you a handicap that obviously you want to try and play to. The first time I ever did it, I actually got 4 and I was hitting it class. Every time since then, I've been quite a lot over my handicap. And the reason is I'm not hitting it close enough, basically, or my drives aren't in good enough position.
You're a really good putter.
Great putter, but you can't do that annoyingly. But what it does show you is sometimes you might have 170-yard shot, let's say, which for me is normally a nicely hit 7-iron, wind depending or lack of wind ideally. And I'll hit one, strike-wise, I'd go, that's a good strike. But actually, then when you look at the Top Tracer screen and you see it, it might be heading as a little pull left of the green, and it lands and goes what would be in like a pretend bunker. So obviously, in real golf, that's a bad place to be. Yeah. It could be plugged, you might not get up and down. If I wasn't doing that with the screen, I would go, that was quite a good strike. A bit pull, but great strike. So actually, I think a lot of us need to practice with more intent. So like you said, not just whacking balls, but having some small goal. And even as simple, if your range hasn't got Top Tracer or anything else, even just hitting... Find a Top Tracer range. Or hit like 5 drivers between flag A and flag B and really use it as a fairway. And if your mates with you, almost have a bet with them or it can be for nothing or Pro V1 or something stupid. And I think when you get a little bit more pressure as well,
100%.
It does make it so much more realistic.
And make sure it's only 5 shots.
Yeah.
And I, you know, take a little journal with you, make notes in your phone and make a note. Today's date, I managed to get 3 out of 5 through that goalpost. Yeah. I'm going to try and beat that next time I come, just so it makes your heart.
Well, it does, because next time, when you've already got 3 out and you've got your last go and you think, oh my God, this is to get my new record, your knees get a bit shaky, etc.
Like it would do on the golf course. Exactly the same. If you've got a good score coming down 17 or 18. Got some questions.
We have.
I'm going to fire through some.
Can we say where the questions are first off, though? A little bit of a plug.
They're on the fantastic podcast group.
So if you've got Facebook, go on the search bar, type in the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, and you'll find the group. 80,000 strong almost. Join it. When you join it, you become part of Rick's extended family.
Extended.
So you don't get
Christmas cards.
Yeah, it's not things like his kids' christening, things like that. It's more like he's having a bit of a party because you've... What would you have a party for?
I have...
You broke 80, so you got to...
broke 80. Yeah. And we have those occasionally.
Yeah, and also as well, we do kind of have a made-up golf club. Now, we know to be in the clubhouse, you have to listen to all the podcast episodes. That's a fact. So if you've not done it in the clubhouse, get away. But I suppose if you've... part of the Facebook group, you could almost be kind of like lingering around outside, like kind of, you know, kind of looking in and kind of getting a feel for the vibe. So you're almost like a guest, a member's guest.
Correct. I like that. You have to sign you in at the door.
Yeah.
The staff just make you a little bit uncomfortable.
They do.
They know you're a guest and they just want to make sure that you know you're a guest.
And they're not offensive. You couldn't complain about them, but they're quite like stern with the wording. Like, so for example, if you're a member and you come to the bar and I'm the barman, I say, hi, Mr. Shields. Is it the usual for you today? And you go, yes, yeah, Guinness, please. You get the logo on top. If you're a member's guest, I just go, what are you having? You couldn't complain about that service, could you? No. But it's not great.
No, it's just a bit frosty.
Yes, frosty is the word. Thank you.
Paul Williams has asked.
Paul Williams.
Is Rick planning on extending his Scottie Cameron collection? I think I've got 3. I'd like to get 4. And then my collection's done. So, yeah.
There you go.
Lewis Parks has Peter Finch Golf replied about the Golf Bidder Challenge. He has. We are chatting about when that might take place.
Jalemba.
Watch this space. Trevor Himes. What is it about golf that keeps us all coming back? For me, it's the difficulty and how good it feels to progress and get better. Isn't it really?
Yeah,
what keeps us coming back?
It's almost...
we've invested too much time.
It is. You know what? So something is chasing that high.
It is.
Everyone, even if you're brand new to golf, you've hit a good shot and you've experienced that little bit of thrill, that bit of endorphin, that serotonin. It's chasing that, isn't it? It really is. And that's one thing, going back to what you said before about having a scorecard. You can't beat that. Having a scorecard in your hand and shooting a good score, it's really nice.
Because that is... as much as I love playing different styles of golf, I really do love match play, love things like Stableford, team games, everything else. Like actually having a scorecard and playing stroke play and playing well, there's not much.
It's like the real game, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Can I ask you one?
Go for it.
I'm going to do it as well. Marcus Monaghan, would love to get a full rundown on the good lads. What you guys thought of each of their games and what you think the handicaps would be and what surprised you. So should we start with Garrett? I'm not going to give away his match with you yet, but Garrett.
His skill reminded me of a young Ricky Shields. He was fearless.
He was very good. Long hitter.
Very, very long.
Good round
short
of greens.
Short game was just ridiculous. Now, might not show up in some of the matches that we had or videos that we made, but we'd spent quite a bit of time like around the chipping greens at JCB.
Very talented.
He just had every single shot. And there was a couple of times where you think he's not going to get up and down, and he did.
Yeah. I would say he, Grant,
I would say
and Micah are plus handicappers.
Yeah, I'd say Garrett has a good one in him, a good round.
Yeah.
He'll sometimes not particularly play well, but he might not shoot. He'll probably never shoot a million.
Yeah.
Like, he'll have a bit of a bad round, which will be 7 or 8 over. But I can't imagine him having a real bad one. Mm. I reckon he's got the capability of shooting 3 or 4 under.
Yeah.
He probably, but someone will come back and say, well, you shot 7 under one time. Yeah. But he has got the ability to do that. Grant, the most consistent golfer.
Yeah, he's going to shoot around par, isn't he?
He's going to shoot 5 under to 3 over every round of golf that he plays. Isn't he?
Nice swing. Yeah, doesn't it? It might. Well, he's not short by any stretch, but for those guys, he's short. For your average golfer, he's long.
Yeah. Micah probably got the best all-round game.
Yeah, he's long.
Very, very long. Like some shot. I mean, that one, did you watch the one that Scott McTominay played with us again?
I was there.
I know, but have you seen the video again?
I watched some of it, not loads.
His drive on 18.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I know you were there in real life, but like, that drive was just...
Yeah.
And he's not big, he's not tall, he's obviously strong. I think someone like Micah has got the ability to shoot 9 under, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he probably at worst, he might shoot 5 over.
Yeah, and then the other three guys who aren't quite as serious. They're almost the ones that surprised me most because I expected the first three you've just mentioned to be good at golf. They are, they're very good golfers. But like Bobby and Stephen and Matt, Matt's a bit more serious. He's probably like a mid single figure handicapper, I guess. But Bobby and Stephen kind of clay and they're off like 12 or whatever, very casual. 12. But they're so athletic. And they actually have probably got a 12, 15, 20 over in the locker. But equally, they could get close to par. Long hitters, lots of speed and can get it around. Yeah. So they were the ones that surprised me the most.
Bobby was really long.
Yeah.
Like really, really long.
Yeah, 3 wood that was ridiculous. Oh,
scary. And like I say, he's probably not going to shoot 5 or 6 under par. But I would put him as I'd probably put him as a 5 handicapper, Bubby. Is that too low?
Again,
it's you on a good day.
Yeah, I think that's a difficult thing with handicap because if you're going off someone on a good day, then he would be. But equally, if you're doing a proper season of 20 cards, you might vary a bit. But he's a good player.
I would say Matt
guy. Probably
plays off about, he's probably slightly better than Bubby. He is better. Probably off a 3 or 4 handicap. And then, but then Stephen can play well, can he? He's probably off 5 as well. Yeah,
they're good golfers. Mark Williams has said, I've had a hole in one on virtual golf at my local Top Tracer range. Do you consider virtual hole in ones as genuine? I don't personally, but that doesn't stop me telling people about it.
No,
not at all, unfortunately. As we've said many a times, if you've had a hole in one and you feel like it's got some level of asterisk next to it, I think that tells you what you need to know.
Unless Derek. His hole in one is legit.
Yes, it is. We actually had another email in today about someone that's done that. I've not got it up to hand. It was actually quite sad. It was someone saying that they'd done the same thing. They'd been on a short par 4, and the person behind them had greened it. They put it in the hole, right? And they cheered as if it's gone in. The guy comes up and he's celebrating. They don't tell him. They don't know why. They just don't tell him. They then find out that earlier that month, his dad had a hole in one on the same par 4. But in between that time and when they've just faked this lad's, his dad passed away suddenly. And it was in the local paper. So they've never dared tell him. So hopefully that guy don't listen. I just realised that.
It's quite an acute story.
Yeah.
But they've emailed it.
Well, it's their fault. But anyway.
It's oh, wow.
I think there's been a lot of fake holding ones. I think it's something that people do more often than not.
I think, when's someone going to do it to me? Do it to me more often.
Connor McCafferty has said, if range balls don't perform as well as a regular stock golf balls, how can you determine your yardage accurately? I asked this because about 2 yards long on the first green at my local... because basically there's a hole at his golf club where even just 2 yards long can actually be out of bounds. So short question, how do you work out your distances if range balls aren't as good?
I believe there is settings on launch monitors that have range ball options, isn't there?
Yeah, don't there's a top trace of ranges.
The only problem, range balls, there isn't just one category.
Yeah, there can be determined. Even the actual balls themselves, if the newer ones or older ones.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. Like, the one-piece golf balls that feel quite squishy, and when you do keepy-uppies, they sound like, you know, sponges. Yeah. They're the shortest golf balls. Like, some driving ranges actually have balls that travel only a certain percentage of the flight because of outdoor factors like houses nearby or roads and things like that. It's a tricky one. It definitely is. You'd like to think that if a ball at a driving range is percentage shorter, then all of the markers on the driving range also accommodate for that, you'd like to think. But realistically, and hopefully not for a great deal of price, if you can go and find a PGA Pro who has maybe an indoor simulator with a launch monitor, certainly something like a GC Quad, that, in my opinion, is the most perfect way you can work out your distances. I know it's not ideal, but it's much better than having ill-fitted numbers if a driving range ball.
You know, one thing I find as well, though, and this... You know, a lot of golfers, they might even know roughly the distance. I mean, most people think they hit it further than they do. I think we're all probably do that. I guess I do as well. But a lot of people, even if they went for that, what you're saying, which I would massively recommend, an indoor or outdoor, whatever, gapping session where the pro tells you, your 9-9 average goes 135, da-da-da, and you get it written down. That's one thing, and that's going to massively help you. But I think so many people then still don't get on the golf course and take into consideration conditions, lies, heat, etc. There's so many factors that can affect. So you could say, I know my 9-9 goes 135 and I've got 135, so I'm going to hit it. Makes sense, doesn't it? But if you've then found that it's a little bit uphill or slight breeze into, or it's quite a cold day, or it's your first shot of the day, or whatever it might be, there's still a lot of things to take into account. So I think it's more than just knowing your distance, isn't it? And that's where you get into this. And also as well, how often do we hit it perfect? Very rarely. So it's quite, it is very, very tough. You could have all those things on your side and still miss hit it.
Paul Appleby, but why did Rick not attend my club invitational after I extended him an invite? Sorry to break this to you, Paul. I don't like you.
Yeah.
I just don't
like
you.
Was it Appleby,
Paul,
did you say?
Yeah. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Appers. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
I just
that
don't
Rick
like
doesn't
you.
Like you. So sorry. If anybody else in the world had asked Rick to go and play, would have gone.
I'd have flown around the world.
But it's because it was Appers. I saw a good one then, actually. It was from, who's it from? Mike Swiffen, Swiffers.
Yeah, Swifts.
Swift-ass. Do you want to say Swift-ass after golf? Following the brilliant pod with Mr. Hammond, thank you. Outside of the world of golf, who are the top three people you'd both like to get onto the podcast and why? So non-golfers on a golf podcast. I think the caveat there has to be, though, they must have some level of interest. Because if you got, I don't know who else. Somebody that's just famous.
Boris Johnson.
I was going, that's really bizarre. I was thinking Boris Johnson. Yeah. That was really weird how you said that.
That was mentioned a couple of times recently. Yeah.
Although, I've told you the Boris Johnson story, haven't I? He's used my golf clubs. I've told you that before. In London.
Yes, yeah. He did. Tower Bridge.
It was before he was a Prime Minister. Bridge. Yeah. Who would you say?
Will Smith.
Yeah. He might slap you, though.
I feel like, and again, people might disagree, I feel like he's... His whole career was tarnished too much, too easily.
Because of that?
Yeah. A little mistake.
Yeah.
Let him
I
off.
Think slapping someone on the world's biggest stage, quite literally the world's biggest stage.
I know, but still.
Anyway, so Will Smith.
I would like on the podcast Michael Jordan.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He'd be pretty sick, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I'd like to come play his golf course.
Yeah.
Feel like Michael Jordan practicing at the Grove, you know, hitting some balls, thinking about who's going to take 100 grand off today. I reckon he's got headphones in listening to this podcast. Do you reckon?
No.
And then the third I would go for is probably Beyonce.
Why? She's got a loose golf interest.
I feel like she definitely would be interested in golf.
Okay.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah, I don't know who mine will be. I think that's the exciting thing with the podcast. We kind of never know who the next guests are going to be, where they're going to come from, what the vibe's going to be. I definitely think the Hammond one, though, has shown us that there is definitely scope for non-golf people on, as long as there's some kind of level of golf interest.
Yeah. We've done them before as well. like Robbie.
Well, he was a golfer, though. Yeah, that's true. They were golfers, I suppose. I think Richard was the newest and least of, like, he'd never been on the golf course, had he?
No.
Until you give him a few tips. That's also a good shout, actually, this week. In fact, I think it might even be today, listen to this, or maybe Thursday.
I think it's Wednesday.
One of these days, anyway, on Richard Hammond's YouTube channel, so Drive Tribe, it's called, there's going to be the video of him in some stupid car that's ridiculously fast going around a track twice whilst Rick plays a golf hole and runs.
It's literally like a Top Gear production.
It's like it literally is a Top Gear level production, or Grand Tour as it is now for them guys.
It's amazing.
It's a great, we've seen the video. It's unbelievable. Won't give it away, but it's class. And I think you'll enjoy it if you watch it. So if you do go and watch it, leave a comment and say, came here from the podcast or whatever it might be. Be cool. You can like some of their comments.
I want to finish on this note.
Okay.
Today. This is an email I've had. And it's been in my inbox for a couple of weeks, and I was on holiday actually, and I read it at the time, and it kind of really hit me, to be honest with you. The description is, "Dear Rick Shields, you have changed my life." Okay, so it got me. It's from Thomas. I won't say his surname. He didn't say he wants to be anonymous, but that's fine. I just wanted to take time to let you know you and your channels have changed my life. January this year, I attempted to take my life. Wow. And like many others, especially males, I've suffered from mental health since my teens. That day, I'd lost my second job during the pandemic. I was waiting for results of a potential health scare, and it was enough to tip me over the edge. And long story short, this is where I discovered a handful of YouTube golf channels. Like, luckily, somebody found him when he did try and take his life. They got rushed into A&E, and he obviously managed to get through it. I have dabbed in golf in the past, but during my teens at school, my early 20s, but I hadn't played a round in 13 years. I was encouraged by my GP to take up a hobby. And basically, we've all heard, he's saying that golf now is his life. Wow. Like, he watches loads of YouTube channels. He watches mine, Peter Finch's, Danny Maud's, Eric from Random Golf Club. He just wants to send a massive thank you to you and me. He listens to the podcast every single week. It's just like, it's mad sometimes because you look at YouTube and social media, and it sometimes can be quite negative and horrible, but like this email, and when you read certain different messages of people, like, it really does touch people's lives, and it makes people hopefully switch off from life and, you know, listen to the podcast or watch videos and maybe forget about worries or troubles they have at home. Like, life is tough and it's challenging. So I just wanted to thank Thomas. He also just said, I emailed him saying, can I share your story? He said, yeah, not a problem. He said, can you just make sure that you tell anybody that's listening there is help out there?
Yeah, that's really cool.
I think I just wanted to touch on that point. I just think it was a very, very moving message, and one that I wanted to share with everybody.
Absolutely. No, it's really good to hear, and glad he's kind of feeling better, and he's obviously found golf and the love of golf, and that's something obviously that we all share.
He also says golf bloody frustrates him.
It does.
It frustrates everybody, doesn't it?
It does. I think that's why we love it, though, don't we? It's like this annoying like thing that you want to get better at. You want to complete. You'll never complete it. No. You might get better at it, though, which is good. But no, it's great to hear he's enjoying the videos and the podcasts. And the good news for him, there's a lot more podcasts to come loads because we got more. To the 200 to Vegas.
Loads more. Tommy, come to Vegas with us. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Lots of different topics and stories there. Hopefully you enjoyed them all. We'll see you next week. Episode 148, out.
Rate the podcast out 10 quick.
6.9.
Oh, wow.
I actually meant 7.9. That's a 6.9.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.